Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8, and let's read verses 12 through 17 and ask God to really move on our hearts this morning by faith, that God will give us an insight, amen, to His Word, amen. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank You for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we're asking now, God, that You would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. We bless You and praise You in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Is Jesus Leading Your Life? Is He leading your life? And as I just mentioned just moments ago, and we see the chaos in just in Chula Vista alone, but we see a culture that we've never seen before, especially growing up as children. I remember riding my bikes until 10 o'clock at night, and we didn't have to worry about gangs, and we didn't have to worry about evildoers. And now, almost once a week, there's mass murdering in our country, in our society. There's people mowed down. You can't even go to a Walmart now. You got to go in there kind of like with your eyes open. What's happening to our society? What's going on? And then we see a whole lot of marriage disputes. And then we see kids that are in bondage. And my brother David, younger brother, he's an investigator for the DA's office here in Chula Vista. Did you know that the number one crime that's not being told through our media is sex trafficking? Right now, in the border, there's tunnels, and people are coming in through the tunnels, sneaking in little babies and little kids from other countries, and these perverted, wealthy pedophilers are purchasing them. It's the number one crime. Well, it's like, what's going on? Well, as we look into the study this morning, they are not being led by Jesus. The culture is being led by the Antichrist. They hate the things of God. They despise you and I. Why? Because we stand for righteousness. The Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 12 through 17, and then we can be seated. And it reads, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will what? Die. But if by the Spirit, that's a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? The sons of God, sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, what?
Abba,
Father. Verse 16, got the word of God right up here on the screen if you didn't bring your Bible. Number 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So when we surrender to the Lord and God's Spirit came in us, that's the witness. That's the down payment. You know without a shadow of a doubt that you will be with Him forevermore. It says the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And indeed, we suffer with Him that we may also be glorified together. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of His word. You may be seated. That's a key verse right there. And it's a lot of Christians don't want to hear this. But it says, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. The culture in our society hate us. They persecute us. They look at us as goody good two shoes. Oh, yeah, they do. Oh, I'm glad you need a God. You really need a God. You ever had that said to you? Oh, yeah, you were really bad. I'm glad you found God. Well, everyone needs God. Can I get amen? Amen. Let's look at this right up here. Do you ask the Lord to show you his will, or do you decide each day how you want to live and what you will do? So are you the type of person that will submit and be led by God, or do you tell God what to do? No, God, that's not for me. No, I'm going to do it this way. Okay. And he steps back and he lets you do whatever you're going to do. And he's always waiting there patiently, even when we crash and burn. He scrapes us off. He just takes that spiritual spatula after we do a faceplant. Saints, the reality is that seldom do people give God much thought when it comes to their daily lives. This is understandable for those who don't know him. You see, the culture that we see in all these people with the story time now, with the transgenders and Planned Parenthood that are chopping up babies and selling the body parts. Oh, yeah. Why do they do that? Because they don't know God. But for those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, seeking God's direction and provision for each day should be a priority in our thoughts, prayers, and especially our decisions. Can I get amen? But saints, although we may be tempted to relegate God's will only to spiritual matters, we fail to apply the biblical precepts to even in the natural. Oh, yeah, you know, that's glory to God stuff. But God is saying, refrain from that or it'll destroy you. So if Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, there is no part of our lives about which he is not concerned and over which he does not have the right to rule. So let's look at this right up here. The will of God is the principle by which we should live every single day. Can I get amen? And so one of the things we're going to see is, will you allow God to sanctify you as believers? That's where the rubber meets the road. This is where, okay, if you're truly going to be led by God, are you willing for him to transform your mind? Are you willing for him to show you the things that you need to lay aside so that you don't find yourself in those predicaments of life? Let's look at this. Allow God to sanctify you. These folks out here that are just causing chaos, they're not sanctified folks. They're uncircumcised Philistines, meaning they're unbelievers. But God says in his word that God does supernatural things when we allow him to sanctify us. Look at what it says in Peter right here. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's where it starts, right here in the heart, because it's all about a heart issue. Where is your heart? Is it right with God? If it's right with God, guess what? Everything starts to line up in your life. But if God is a million miles away from your heart, nothing is going to matter at that point. You will be living for self. You will be living me, myself, and I. You will be living a Burger King life, having it your way. Look at this. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. God is saying, have a good conscience. That when they defame you as evildoers, so the people that were out there yesterday, and you had one side was for the transgender, yet the other side, you know, protesting, they looked at the Christians as what? Evildoers. Those who revile your good conduct in Christ, that they may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing what? Keep on doing right, saints, despite of the culture, despite of the world. Keep honoring God. Can I get an amen? Amen. And God will watch over your life like a mother hen watches her chicks. Can I get amen? He'll put a shield and a buckler around you. That's right. He'll encamp his angels about you. When you have a mind to submit unto him. So, number two, allow God to transform you. That's right. See, we think that when we get saved, okay, I'm saved. Praise the Lord. I'm going to heaven. Yes, you are. But God wants to teach you now. God wants to show you things that you once did in the world that you would walk in a way pleasing now to him. Okay? So, God's word is clear. Look what it says right up here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. God is looking that we would walk acceptable to him, not just in any way. He wants us to clothe ourselves with his righteousness. Can I get amen? Because it is his righteousness where he is exalted. He is high and lifted up. Look at this. Which is your reasonable service. This is something that should come naturally now as a child of God. We shouldn't be fighting God no more. Can I get amen? Those days should be over. And by the way, you can't outbox God. Your arms cannot reach heaven. All he has to do is just do one of these. Flick. And do not be conformed to this world. See, this world has a conformity. They're conformed, and guess who they're led by? Old Slewfoot. That's right, the devil himself. Because he's lied to them. And they believed a bill of lies. And if the devil can continue to lie and lie and lie, to some people, it becomes the truth because they hear the lie over and over again. So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. And this is how you renew your mind. It's through God's word. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. It ain't Dr. Phil. It ain't Oprah. It ain't books on Dr. Spock. No, it's God's word that transforms and renews your mind. A lot of you, by God's grace, are not the same as you were years ago. How many are so blessed to know that? Come on, give them praise. God has done a mighty, mighty work in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. That you may prove, see, that you may prove to yourself the witness that is within you. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God is looking for us to adhere to him, to gravitate to him, to be consumed by him. And when you're consumed by God, guess what? Your joy will remain. That's right. Your joy will remain. That's right. Yesterday, I was just so joyful, so joyful. I had a good friend that we did a real estate transaction in Eastlake about 12 years ago. She brought her daughters. She led them to Christ. And by God's grace, we baptized them in our jacuzzi yesterday. You're talking about being filled with joy. You know what God said? God said to me, don't look at the culture. Don't look at all these picket signs and all the. Just stay focused on me, and I will bring you souls that need to be born again. Come on, come on, come on, God. It's all about God. It's all about being used by him. It's all about being used in the master's hand and being transformed and renewed by him. Can I get amen? Amen. Because that becomes the perfect will of God. Back in the day, we used to get in people's grill. What up? Come on. We grew up in Nasty City. National City. There's some red devils in the house. You know, I mentioned my friend Gene Alam, and he invited me to watch Sweetwater's basketball game. It was a year ago. And so we walked into the gymnasium. Oh, my gosh. When you walk into the gymnasium, they have the fires of hell on the wall. Yeah, and the face of the devil. I go, oh, my gosh. Before, it was just someone, it looked like a big giant pianata, on the football field, you know, with the old pitch for you. Okay, I get that. But now it's painted all over the place. Jesus, help us. Number three, allow God to purify our hearts towards God and man. God wants us to be right with him and right with one another. See, because when we're right with one another, guess what? Now we can be right with God. But if we're at conflict with one another, man, it's the most difficult thing to hear from God, especially knowing that that one hates you. You ever had someone hate you and belittle you and curse you out and just spread lies and they want to do is try to destroy you? Why? Because they're led by another spirit. They're not led by the Holy Spirit. If you're led by the Holy Spirit, you will find ways to build that person up. How can I pray for you? How can I bless you? Man, what can I do for you? How can I change your mind so that you don't hate me no more? Because if you ain't proactive about it, they're going to continue to hate you. Humble yourself. Just humble yourself. Allow God to purify your hearts. Can I get amen? That's right. How many know who King David is? And he did the one unthinkable sin, didn't he? What did he do? Man, he was on a balcony looking at something he shouldn't have been looking at, huh? He should have been at war with his army men. But he wanted to kick back. He went out. He went out onto his balcony and he peered over. Man, he just didn't look. He stared. And then after the stare, lust entered in. That's right. But when the prophet called him on the carpet, the prophet Samuel came to him and told him a story. You know, there's a story about a man who had one sheep and his neighbor had 5,000 sheep, but the one that had 5,000 sheep went and took the one little lamb next door and used that lamb for his big old party. And so the prophet told David, what do you think should happen? He says, that man should be hung. He should be destroyed. And the prophet looked at David and says, you are that man. He took Bathsheba from who? Uriah. Uriah was on the battlefield killing the enemies. And he schemed on his wife and took her. So the prophet had, see, look, now, this is what I love about David. Because David's like us. How many of you fumbled the ball? I like to use football terms so that you get kind of like, man, you run at 10, 5, 4, and fumble. You ever see someone fumble the ball before they go in the end zone?
Yeah.
Turn the ball over. What happened? You weren't hanging on to the ball. Well, the prophet came. He came, and he called him out. So what I love about King David, he could have said, like all the other kings in the past, let me grab this prophet by the nape of his neck. and throw them into the dungeon with all the rats. And don't feed them. No, what did King David do? He did this right up here. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. He said, restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your generous spirit, that I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. This is what God is looking. He's looking for your life to make a difference. That when the unbelievers and the sinners come across your path, that you can say, I've been there, I've done that. Let me show you a better way. Because now you're operating in a pure heart before God, in a clean heart. And you will lead them to the Lord. Can I get an amen? Amen. Man, well, that's what King David did. He understood that. And we know he came from a dysfunctional family. Oh, your family wasn't dysfunctional, right? No, I won't go there. I can't go there. So now, because I like to say, it wasn't ugly, it was oogly. Y'all leave that alone. We'll come back another day on that one. But number four, look at this. Allow God to teach us his ways. How many believe that his ways are better? They're much better. God's not going to put your life in jeopardy. He's not going to put you in a predicament where he will entrap you and allow you to be destroyed by the enemy. That's not how God rolls. He don't. So King David understood. Look what he wrote here in Psalms. He wrote this, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. That means the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit is good. Can I get amen? Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. That's what these folks that are off the hinges right now, that have a perverted mind and a perverted heart, they need to learn to come back to God's word and God's ways. Can I get amen? Amen. That they would walk uprightly before God. That God will not destroy them. Look what he says here in Psalms 25. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. So if you submit to God, he will teach you in the way he needs to teach you. Every one of us has a different plan that he has for us. Your plan is not my plan, and vice versa. But his plan is good. It's good for your life. He will not bring you into error. Can I get an amen? Look what John wrote here. He wrote this. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught by what? God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. It's about learning from God, his word. Can I get amen? Amen? Also, in Thessalonians, look at this. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are what? Taught by God to hate one another, to despise one another, to speak someone and downcast one another. Does it say that? No, to what? To love one another. You'll go a lot further with honey than you will with vinegar. Can I get amen? Oh, yes, you will. So let's look at this. Jesus Christ, our Savior, is our example to follow. He's the example. And if you allow him to lead you every day, guess what? The Bible says your joy shall remain. It'll remain. And you'll press on whatever he's called you to do. You know why? Because the joy of the Lord will be your strength. That's right. Bible says, do not be weary in well-doing. Keep doing good. There's a payoff. I hope you know that. There's a payoff at the end. You know what that payoff is? When he comes, he's bringing his gifts with him to give to you. That's right. And he's not going to let you peek in them. You know how we put presents under the tree? You know, everyone's asleep. I'm going to look in this one. This is a big box. And that big old box have five boxes that come down to a small box. And a little plastic toy from China that breaks as soon as you play with it. Saints, even the Son of God, he lived in complete dependence and submission to his Father. When the prospect of the cross was imminent, he did not face it independently. He didn't. Look at this in Luke. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed. So he was with his disciples. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into what? Can I just say this? If you're not praying, you don't have devotional time with God, man, you're setting yourself up to trip up. Because God wants a relationship with you. And if you're communicating with him, he's teaching you great and mighty things. But if you walk around every day like this, God said, listen, open your ears. I want to say something to you. God's not there to rain on our party. Can I get amen? He wants the best for us. That you may not enter in temptation. Look at this. And when he was withdrawn from about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Can you honestly say that the plan he has for you is that, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done? Can you say no to the things that will hinder you? Can you make a stand for God and say, you know what, God? I'm going to press with you. Because people will forsake you left and right in life. Oh, yeah, they will. Some are working on their fifth marriage, thinking this is my fulfillment. This is my joy. God is saying, I, Jesus, wants to be the lover and bishop of your soul. Thank you, God. Saints, in his time of distress, this is Jesus. Jesus asked the Father if there was any other means to accomplish the redemption of mankind. In other words, do I really have to climb up on here? I shared this with the three girls yesterday, the mother and the two daughters. Because I couldn't just baptize. I had to share the gospel with them so that they had an understanding of what they were doing. I said, every time you see the cross, whether it's on a church, whether you're wearing it on your neck, whether it's on your Bible, but every time you see the cross, I want you to remember that Jesus was on that cross. And he didn't have a little terry cloth like the movies portray him. Josephus, who was an eyewitness, and Isaiah says that he was so beaten like a pulp, you couldn't even tell his gender no more. He was that beaten, and his flesh was torn from him. And he was naked before the world. And I told those three yesterday, he did it for you. We deserve to be on this cross because of our sinfulness. But he said, Father, let me step in front of them. Let me be their advocate. Let me be their king. Let me accomplish what no one on this earth could do to save us from our sinfulness. It was Jesus. It was Jesus on the cross. So I need you to always remember, when you see the sign of the cross, just remember, he was on it. And his words that came out of his mouth, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He could have called for legions of angels to come and destroy the Romans and all those who beat him. They whipped them with cat nine tails, and when they dug into the flesh, it ripped out chunks of his flesh. His beard was ripped out. Everything. Nothing was a lovely sight no more. Isaiah said it was so grotesque. Josephus said everyone turned and they couldn't look upon him. But here was the most fearful thing for him. His father who sent him, he had to turn his face from his son. That moment in time, his father had to turn his face from his son. And while he was on that cross, your sins, my sins, for the past 2,000 years and prior to that, were nailed to the cross for us. He had to go to the cross for us. Can I get an amen? This is what these people need to know. These people that are going in, the reason why you're seeing these drive-bys and these mass murders and all these things that are rising up ungodly is because no one's preached the gospel to them. They took God out of the school. They took God out of the court system. They took God out of the society. So now you can't even speak the name of Jesus. And so now we have a society of spiritual barbarians. Brother Lafayette shared with me. He went to pick up Jordan at school. And you know how there's classrooms, rows of classrooms and classrooms. He had to walk by with his head shaking. Two young students, females, lip locking. He said it would look like a porno movie. On campus. Where have we gone? Where is this society going? But fear not. Jesus said, "I'm with you. Though the days become dark, you and I, we need to have our lives become brighter." Can I get amen? Amen. We need to shine so bright that they go, "Oh man, man, it's so bright," that they would come to the cross and that they would repent of their sins. So saints, in the time of distress, Jesus asked the Father if there was any other means to accomplish the redemption of mankind. And guess what? There wasn't. But his main concern was that he followed God's will, not his own. My question to you, are you following God's will, not your own? Because you follow his will, he's not going to let you down. Mankind will let you down. That's right. "Oh, I'm always going to stick with you, man. Man, you're my bro." And then they're long gone. You're not even an afterthought in their mind about you no more. But God will not do that with you. Can I get amen? Amen. So let's look at this. The will of God is that which he approves and determines to bring about. So you got to allow God to let him bring things about. Can I get amen? Amen. Let him use you, saints of God. It's not hard. He said, "My burden is light and my yoke is easy." He's not putting a noose around your neck and pulling you like a mule. Come on. No. God's gentle with us. Can I get amen? How many of you, since you got saved, you fumbled the ball? For some of you, not only you fumbled the ball, but they stopped the clock for about 3 years. Can I get an amen? The clock stopped for about 3 years after you went right back out there. because you fumbled the ball. And then God says, listen, it's time now. He puts the ball right back in our arms and he starts the clock again. And now he says, I want you to pass the goal line now. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Finish it. Finish the race. Finish the race. Hallelujah. Finish the race. My goodness. There's joy. And there's a huge prize awaiting us. Thank you, God. And so, saints, it concerns his choices regarding what we do and what not to do, since he is omniscient. How many know what omniscient means? He's all-knowing. God is all-knowing. God knows your thoughts. Do you know he knows your thoughts? Amen. Sometimes our thoughts, you would not tell nobody. Just imagine if God were to shine on this screen, all of our thoughts, I'd beat you to the front door. I'm gone. Man, but God is merciful. God is loving. He knows all things, and we can trust that he knows the best path for us. Can I get amen? God created us to find our satisfaction and fulfillment in him alone. Look at this, what it says right up here. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. And he knows what? Some things? He knows everything about you. From the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb to the moment you're going to close your eyes here on this earth, he knows everything about you. And nothing has taken him by surprise. Can I get amen? He's just looking for you to fall in love with him. That's all. Just fall in love with the Savior. Saints, therefore, to ignore his will and live as if he has no say in our lives, the Bible calls that foolish living. All our attempts to govern our own lives cannot bring us lasting joy and peace we desire, because there is no eternal satisfaction apart from submission unto the Lord. So, living in God's will is our protection. How many want to be protected by God? Well, you got to get out of Slew Foot's camp. What are you doing on that? What are you doing lining up in the other huddle? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong huddle. You got to be with God all the way. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's right. Because living in God's will is for our protection. Look what 2 Peter says. I'll go quickly now. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own what? Steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Shame on those people that are standing with those folks during this past week. Well, they got a voice too. They have their rights too. Really? That's what God says, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow. Say that with me. But grow. Tell your neighbor next to you. But grow. But grow. But grow. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Jesus. Jesus. It's all about him. For those of you who attend this church, it's all about Jesus. Can I get amen? Amen? It will always be about Jesus. There's no other agenda here. It's all about him. And when you add your own agenda, you'll crash and burn. Saints, if we don't look to God for daily direction, we are sure to stumble and fall. We can't know the future, what it holds, but the Lord does. See, he's the one that holds the future. Can I get amen? He holds the future. He alone has complete understanding and wisdom to direct our path. And not only in the crucial decisions, but in our daily concerns. Every day is a concern. Listen, yesterday, what you did yesterday, that's gone. You can't bring that back. Can I get an amen? And tomorrow's not even here yet. He's concerned about today. As soon as you woke up, he's concerned about your life today. We can't live the past. It's gone. Bye. And we're not here yet tomorrow. But today, he wants to deal with our matters today. Can I get an amen? So he has complete understanding and wisdom to direct our path. And saints, considering all this, what we've been reading this morning and hearing, our response should be to make him our priority each day. If he's not priority, you're on your own. You're just on your own. So, before we close, what is God's will? What's his will, saints? What's his will? I got a call from a good friend who need to put a living trust together, and they want to include a will. Wills are important because they basically declare through witnesses and through notarization and through recording the trust that whatever stipulated in that will be accomplished. You can't amend it. You can't alter it once there's been a deceased member. And that's what a living trust is. It's for those who leave something. The last thing you want is to leave something behind and let it go into probate. You know what that means? That means you never made a will. You never made a living trust. And now the courts and the state of California will have access to that and will take everything away from your heir. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. See, the Lord knows every detail in our lives, and he has given each of us different capabilities and skills that enable us to accomplish whatever he has planned for us. How many believe that? Well, God's word says that. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, he makes you complete. It's through the blood. You're not complete because you're a good person or you think you're a good person. No, we're complete by the blood of the Lamb. Because God's blood is the only thing that can wash away our sin. Can I get an amen? Amen. Look at this. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will. We can't do his will without being washed in the blood. Nobody wants to talk about the blood no more. No one even wants to sing about the blood. But it's through the blood working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. God is looking for us to be well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So God is saying something to us this morning. Can I get amen? Amen. How many want to be led by Jesus? Amen. Come on. Don't you want to be led by Jesus? Yes, sir. Yes. Amen. Amen. I got a few more scriptures. Please don't go. Don't worry. Just DVR your game. They might lose anyway. I don't know. Look at Ephesians. See that you walk what? You know what circumspectly means? You're walking in the perfect will of God. I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. And I'm walking now in liberty of God. Guess what? The devil don't have nothing on me no more. That's right. See, the devil's always looking for something to blackmail you. He's looking for dirt. Dirt. He's looking for dirt. There's got to be something in that closet I can bring out. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as what? Wise. Redeeming the time. You know what redeeming the time means? That means it's now. Live for God now, not tomorrow. Well, you know what? I'll think about it, but you know what? I'm still having fun in my life right now. I'm glad you found God. Redeeming the time because the days are what? Oh, they're wonderful. The days are wonderful. Tiptoe through the tulips. No, the days are evil. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Come on. Mass murders everywhere. My goodness, 60 million babies aborted in the womb. 60 million. And guess what? The blood is on their hands. All those doctors and nurses and all those people in Planned Parenthood or whatever you want to call it, they're going to give an account to God. Therefore, do not be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine. Oh, yeah, me. What's up? In which is dispensation, but be filled with what? Man, you want your joy? You want to keep your joy? Keep the Holy Ghost moving. Come on. Have the Holy Ghost living inside. Hallelujah. Start worshiping him. When's the last time you worship? Sometimes you have to press. Sometimes you got to labor in prayer. And then all of a sudden, here comes the joy. But when's the last time you labored in prayer? When's the last time you got on your knees, man? Lord, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you, God. When's the last time you labored in prayer? And then the Holy Ghost comes. Praise the Lord for Brother Josh. He brought us up to the altar, but it's more than 2 minutes. Can I get amen? It's more than 2 minutes. Saints, no part of our lives is to be lived independently of our wise and loving Creator. Amen? So, if you're being led by Jesus, this is the key for us. I'm going to go quickly for time's sake. Number one, look at this. We need the Lord for every aspect of our life. How many believe that? Okay, so the message this morning is to be led by Jesus. Amen? Not old Slewfoot. He already destroyed your life. God has redeemed our life, though. Can I get amen? Come on. Aren't you so blessed that God didn't leave you out there? We were all gone. We were all headed to hell in a handbasket. You know that? So, Jesus is the bread of life. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go what?
Hungry.
And he who believes in me will never be what? Thirsty. You have to have Jesus as your all in all. Can I get amen? It's not a church, it's not a pastor, it's not an elder, it's not your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your grandparents. It's Jesus. Look at this. Jesus offers us the living water. You want some joy? Man, have them replenish the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Yesterday when I was baptized in the souls, the Spirit of God dropped. Man, I was like, man, Lord, I'm not even worthy. And yet you still touch my life.
Come on, man.
Come on. If you knew the gift of God and who is that asked for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have what? Given you living water. How many want living water? You know what? When God fills you with the Holy Ghost, you know what comes with the Holy Ghost? Even healing. Huh. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. You want joy? Be filled with living water. Don't go to 7-Eleven and get smart water. It's not that smart.
Yeah, yeah.
We need the living. Man, I'm looking to see a bottle of the living water with scriptures on it. Uh-oh, that's somebody's idea.
Uh-oh.
Look at this. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am the way, the truth. No one comes to the Father except through me. There, you know what? You look at the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons. You look at all these cults out there. They're all trying to climb up a whole different way. They don't want to go through Jesus. Jesus said, he said in a parable that when the wedding feasts take place, he's going to see someone there. He goes, who invited you? And then he's going to arrest this man and throw him out.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He thought, oh man, I could just come up here.
Not like that.
I could just come up here. Jesus is our Savior and Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Look at this. For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above what? Every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will what? Bow. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Every knee will bow. And of those who are in heaven, and man, guess what? Even the angels in heaven are bowing. Man, if heaven bows, you better bow. Don't you be like this. What's up? Every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. These are people, you know who people under the earth? These are people in hell waiting for judgment.
They're going to bow too.
They're going to bow, brother. They're going to bow. They're going to bow. Oh, come on. And under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Come on, somebody got to. Come on.
Jesus.
Come on. Come on. He's our rock. How many believe he's our rock? Jesus is our rock.
Yes, sir.
For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was who? Christ, thank you, God. He's the rock that I stand on. Come on. Listen, today is a day that you fall on the rock, because if you don't fall on the rock will come back and crush you and fall on you. Jesus is our Redeemer. And as for me, I know, Job said, and I know my Redeemer liveth. How many know the story of Job? Guess what? The devil had to get permission. The devil went up to heaven and told, hey, God, he's blessed because you put a hedge around him. Remove that hedge and let me touch his life and let's see if he will curse you. And Job's own wife, after she saw him with boils from the head to, I'm talking big red pussy boils. He looked hideous. And his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? Man, watch out, man, who's going to give you that type of advice. Nah, Job said like this, as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last day, his stand on the earth. In other words, God is going to raise him up from the bowels of the earth. Thank you, God. How many believe Jesus is the light of the world?
Yes.
Huh? Is he the light of the world?
Amen.
Has he lit you up?
Amen.
Jesus is the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in what? But will have the light of life. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And here's what people need, because I saw the videos of all these people, man, at these rallies just gnawing and chewing and spitting at each other. Wah, 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 wah. You know what they don't have? Peace. Jesus is our peace, for he himself is our what?
Peace.
No, it's not peace. He's our peace. Jesus is the beginning and the end. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So you know what that says? He knows you from when you were pushed out of your mother's womb. And prior to that, when you were conceived. And he knows the last day that you will close your eyes here on earth. And if you're a child of God, when you open them, you're with him in glory. Hallelujah. How many can't wait for that day? I can't wait. God said he has prepared a new body for us. Man, I can't wait to see my body. Man, throughout the last 30 years, I've been like this on a diet. I I think those diets is why the rest of this fell off. I don't know. But the new body is never going to be diseased. Can I get an amen? Come on. It's never going to die. It's going to grow forever and ever and ever. We will be with him. Hallelujah. We won't have a sinful mind no more. Come on, just imagine not having a cursing mouth no more. Oh, none of you have that in here, do you? Oh, okay. No. No, not you guys. And he's our deliverer. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus delivers us from the wrath. Did you catch that? Yeah. What did he save you from? Oh, I saved you, man, you know, because I love you. And you know what? I just want you to be with me. No, this ungodly world, when he takes us out of here, he's going to pour his wrath on this planet. He said right here, Jesus delivers us from the what? From the wrath to come. And it's coming. It's coming. We're seeing the signs. Jesus said at the last day, you'll see these things, and they're taking place every day now. Hey, you notice one thing? The days are real short now. It's like God has condensed time. Man, when we were kids, one day was a long time. Man, not anymore. As soon as you wake up, you're going to bed. Where did the day go? Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. How many are so blessed to know that we're not going to experience the wrath of God? Oh, come on. You know why? Because he's the good shepherd. Aren't you so blessed that Jesus, you know, pastors around the world, we're just sub-shepherds. You know what a sub-shepherd is? Appointed by him to feed his sheep. That's all we're doing is feeding the sheep. He told Peter, feed my sheep. That's it, just feed my sheep. And that's what, but he, Jesus, is the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So Jesus, who died on the cross, was for you, was for me. He laid his life. Listen, he willingly laid his life. He had a made up mind. I'm coming down to save them all that would come. Aren't you so blessed you came? Pray for those who are not there yet. Pray for those who are not there yet. So, as we close, those who don't know Christ as Savior are living without God. Come on up, brother. This is why some people's lives are such a mess. They're not living for God. They try to fill the divine void with substitutes, but the emptiness remains because there is only one person who can satisfy the deep longings of the human heart, and that is only Jesus. Can I get an amen? God loved mankind so much that he sent his only begotten Son. Hallelujah. To die for them so that you and I would know who he is. That God's love is perfect. And he thought of you. He thought of you and he thought of me. Thank you, God. Jesus has come to reconcile us back to the Father. We were lost and astray. But one by one, he found you just where you were. And he brought you. He found you. He brought you. He found you. He brought you. He found all of us. Not at the same day. Every one of us got saved at a whole different time. But he saved us. That's all that matters. 30 years ago, he saved me. I shared with those three that I baptized. When God found me, I had $500 of crystal meth to my song. And yet he still loved me. despite of myself. He came to deliver me. Before the foundation of the world, the Bible says he already knew us. He knew the day that we would come and surrender our life and cry out to him, "Oh God, what a wretch that I am." For God said this, and I close. "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." My goodness. God spared us from judgment. If you're a true believer, born again, filled with the Spirit of God, washed in the blood, guess what? He spared us from judgment. But maybe someone's listening right now. Maybe someone's here that never surrendered their life. God is saying, "Man, this is your moment. Hey, who cares what people around us, how they look at us right now? It don't matter. Just come to the altar, man, and say, 'Lord, here I am. I want to be saved, God.'" If you're here, God has divinely appointed you to be here. It's not a coincidence. Can I get an amen? I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Brother G, you and Sister Stacy, come on up. Help me pray for souls. I believe there's people here that need prayer. People need to be touched in their bodies. People need to be healed. People need a touch from God. There was enough word here to last you 3 months. If you're here, come on up to the altar. Let us pray for you.
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.